All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you got your favorite bearded podcast brethren back again. It's Jordan. It's Lane.
Howdy.
We are here to discuss some sports, both at the local level, the national level, and beyond. I feel like a little Buzz Lightyear action there, but you know.
To infinity and beyond, Jordan.
Before we get too far into this and down what seems to be our first rabbit hole, thank you to everybody for coming back and listening to us. Please hit us up on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those fancy things. Spartans, Wolverines, Beards, we greatly appreciate it. Just to help spread our name a little bit further, hit that subscribe button on whatever device you're listening to us on. Give us those 5-star reviews. They always help. And my number one thing I always tell people is just tell somebody about us. Word of mouth seems to still be one of the best ways to spread information. So tell a friend that likes sports to give us a listen.
Absolutely, man.
And then to the Watershed Voice, thank you to them for partnering with us. Those of you that do not know, Watershed Voice is a local resource. They cover all things St. Joe County, and I know they are currently working on branching out to further areas, but in this moment it's predominantly St. Joe County, but they cover all things sports, politics, economics, everything you could possibly want. It's all there at a very reasonable price.
Yeah, absolutely, Jordan. Just to kind of piggyback off that a little bit, what makes Watershed pretty unique is that it's a community sponsored journalism. So you don't have to be a journalist. You don't have to be a professional podcaster. You don't have to be a world-renowned poet or artist or something like that. You can still submit articles to Watershed Voice for publishing. Like I said, it's community-sponsored journalism, and it really feels like it's going to be the way to go now going forward.
Are you saying that we're not professionals?
Well, I would like to consider us professionals.
Because I feel pretty damn professional.
See, I do too. Like, I'm wearing my Lions gear. Like, I'm ready to roll tonight, man.
I got my beer in my hand. I mean, what more does a sports person need when you're talking about a podcast than a beer and surrounding by sports memorabilia? I mean, that's professional.
That damn right it is, man.
And it's ironic because Lion Kugel's Summer Shandy is back out and then there's snow on the ground.
It is?
Yeah, that's what I said when I saw it, so I bought some. So,
hey, positive thoughts.
Anyways, there's rabbit hole number two for the podcast. We're going to go for a record tonight, I have a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get going into the bulk of the podcast, we will touch on, we will recap Centerville and their state title quest last weekend. I guess last Friday was the official date, not technically the weekend. We will touch on all things Lions right now because, I mean, if you've been following, there's a lot to talk about with the Lions. They got coaches coming and going. They got players coming and going. I mean, it's a who's who of information right now. So those are going to be our two main topics because we think we can probably dedicate quite a bit of time to them this week.
Yeah, I've got stuff to say today.
Yeah. So before we do that, though, let's touch on a couple news things. So first and foremost, the Super Bowl is set. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Kansas City Chiefs, the GOAT, Tom Brady versus Pat Mahomes and the high-flying Chiefs offense. I mean, kind of the matchup I expected. I wanted to see Buffalo versus the Bucs.
Yeah.
Just because I kind of like Josh Allen, and it's a different story. But, I mean, you look at that Chiefs offense and just everything that they've been able to do, and it's just you don't expect anything less right now.
No, and, I mean, it's – if you're Roger Goodell, I mean, first off, you're wishing that you could – COVID wasn't going on, so you could fully open the stadium and have Tom Brady play the first ever home game for a team in the Super Bowl. And then secondly, the story just writes itself. I mean, he got the GOAT against the mini GOAT. I mean, if you're him, Goodell's, you know, just laughing because, you know, this viewership's going to be through the roof this year.
Well, don't forget, they are in Florida, and they have a little bit looser policies down there in the state of Florida. So there'll be some fans in that stadium. I don't know what percentage they'll get to, but there'll be some fans in there. I guarantee that.
I think the last I saw was like 22,000 fans, and then 7,500 of them were first responders. So,
that's still a pretty good number, though.
Yeah, that's a healthy margin for that stadium.
So I know it's way too early. But gun to your head, who do you got?
I'm taking Tampa.
Okay.
Don't bet against the GOAT.
We'll break it down a little bit more probably next week, because I have a feeling next week will be a lighter week. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, TV12 has proven time and time again that he's the greatest for a reason. He finds a way, and I think I like Tampa right now too. Obviously, a long way to go. You never know with injuries, and COVID's still a concern. I mean, if one of these guys tests positive, it's going to shake the whole thing up. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just thinking about that and the chaos that would cause.
Yeah. So, speaking of COVID, let's touch on the other news topic. First things first, we're not going to do a full college basketball segment because there's really only one game to talk about. Michigan goes down to West Lafayette, blows out Purdue 70-53. Not really a whole lot of talking points to come out of that game. Michigan showed up, dominated from the tip. And the main storyline from that game was Sasha Stefanovic testing positive for COVID-19. I believe they said 72 hours. He had not had any contact with anybody else for 72 hours. So they have blah, 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 ramble long story. They felt like everybody else was safe. It was all over Twitter. Everybody was in a buzz. They shouldn't play that game just because of the fear of everything else and somebody on Michigan getting it, and then it spreading, and then all hell breaking loose. Well, little did we know, all hell broke loose anyways. So, if you haven't been in the social media sphere, Michigan Athletics is completely shut down for the new strain of COVID. I'm not going to get into a ton of details on it on here, just because there's so many unknowns. I mean, we know there's certain sports have tested positive, certain haven't, blah, blah, blah. There's so much confusion. The only thing that matters is right now, Michigan athletics are shut down for 14 days. So it doesn't sound like that's a firm has to be 14 days. It sounds like it's 14 days and we'll reevaluate as things progress with hope of opening sooner. So we'll see. But as of right now, all of Michigan athletics are in a pause. So I don't, like I said, we're not going to go any more into detail on it than that for this podcast, because there's too many conflicting stories and it's not worth the effort to try to break it all down, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's an ever-changing situation, and like you said, there's way too much to cover.
Yeah, so really we're going to leave our news at that. Michigan is ranked number four in the country in the AP. They rank number three in all the other rankings, so you hope that this situation can get figured out and the men's and women's teams and the hockey team, all these teams that are having great success, can get back out there and play. So we'll leave it at that. So I think, was that all we had for news, Lane? I'm pretty sure it was. I don't have the thing in front of me.
Yeah, no, it's pretty light news week. I mean, predominantly what we're going into the next couple segments will be our news. So we'll go from there.
Yep. So we will take a quick little non-paid break and be right back with some high school football recap.
Okay, everybody, we are back from that unpaid commercial break.
If you notice, we keep dropping that unpaid. If you want to sponsor us, hit up your boys. We're always looking for some funding.
Amen, brother. Line of Kugels, if you're out there, we'll talk about you all day.
I will fully support and endorse Lion and Kugel Summer Shandy.
I've hung out with you when we've been drinking some Lion and Kugel. Goes down smooth. Taste the summer. Lion and Kugel's Michigan.
It makes the snow outside taste even a little bit warmer.
See? Boom. There's our ad right there, man.
Just got to get paid now.
Right. Rabbit hole number three. Okay. Yep.
We're getting there. We're
getting there. We're chugging along. All right. So.
Literally.
Damn, that was good. Anyways, so if you guys were not aware, Centerville last week was in the state football final for their first ever appearance at Ford Field, and they took on the Ubbly Bearcats. And I really, unsurprising to us, I mean, Centerville just dominated them. I mean, the whole way. I mean, Jordan, you watched the game. I listened to the game. What do you think about it?
Man, like you said it. The word that came to my mind was dominate. From the jump, you could just tell Centerville was the more physical team. I mean, the Spencer boys, one was a fullback, one was a linebacker. When they were on defense, the one linebacker was making every play. When they were on offense, it seemed like the fullback was just running people over and opening up lanes. And those two really seemed like they set the tone physically. And then you had, obviously, Sam Todd, quarterback, being probably the best athlete on the field at all times, just showing his athleticism, being able to get out of the pocket and make plays happen. And then the big surprise was the passing game really came into it. You know, Tyler Swanwick, who I believe is a junior.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What, 90 something yards? What was it?
4 receptions, 97 yards, 2 TDs.
And he had a couple really nice grabs. I mean, it was surprising. And for those of you that listened to our podcast last week, we interviewed Coach Schultz, and I threw in a little plug there at him asking about, you know, with the athletes that they have, if they considered spreading it out. And he even subtly dropped in that they had some little tricks in the works. And you almost have to wonder if opening up and passing the ball a little bit more might have been part of those tricks.
You know, it's funny because I when I was listening to the game and I heard about the passing game opening up and Swanwick kind of just going off, I said to Kendra, Coach kind of left some breadcrumbs for us last week that might have been a possibility that the game plan changed a little bit. And, oof, it did.
Yeah, because and it worked. Centerville wasn't really doing anything dominant on the ground early on. You know, Ubley had done a good job of slowing down their triple option look. And it really was a few third down plays where Sam Todd found Swanwick or found I'm blanking on the other kid's name. It was one of the wingbacks. I can't think of his name now. But he found a couple big plays on third downs. And once you just hit a couple of those passes, now they can't have 8-9 guys in the box. They've got to respect that play-action pass a little bit more. And then that's when Spencer and Todd and them were able to get on the edges and up the middle and just start gashing them. But really, the whole game, as big the plays were on offense, the defense was just – it was lethal. I mean, those guys hit like I have never seen at Division VIII level. They were hitting. Pads were cracking. You could hear it. Obviously, there weren't a ton of fans there, and I was watching it on my phone at work, but they were smacking.
And, you know, and to go off of your defense comment about just how good they've been, I mean, we've talked all year about – how good this defense is. I mean, to go into a state final against Ubley, who has averaged 40 points a game in the playoffs, and to hold them to no points, and then to add on to that, only give up 29 points all season. I mean, that's incredible.
And that was that was their eighth shutout in 11 games this year.
Yeah, eight shutouts, 11 games. And Jordan, you and I were talking about it, and you had sent me an interesting tidbit. By all accounts, it kind of looks like that's the lowest total point margin since the 70s.
Yeah, I mean, I looked up on MHSAA's website, and it's really vague because it really only shows the fewest points allowed in a season, and there's like 50 teams that haven't given up a point in an entire season, but the most recent of those teams was 1973. So in the modern era of football, 29 points is nothing short of extraordinary to be your point total.
Mm-hmm.
So that defense was amazing. The Centerville team, top to bottom, was impressive. And it was 22-0, but if you watched it, I mean, I don't think Ubley ever crossed the 20-yard line going in. Like, they threw an interception in the end zone. That was the only time they crossed the 50, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jordan. And I think the and even in this game, the longest play that Centerville had against them was 16 yards, and that was all season.
That's just impressive.
I mean, that's if you
they put, had
yeah. I mean,
they had like three plays longer than that in the game.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to look at a defense from top to bottom in the high school level about just domination, you want to model after it, you have to look at this 2020 Centerville football team and say, I want to be like that.
And I think they just had so many athletes. I mean, Coach had mentioned it to us last week, you know, they were physical and that they needed to be physical, and they were. But, I mean, just looking at it, all 11 guys that they had on the field at any point in time just looked like they were a step faster. They were a hair stronger. They were a little bit bigger. Like it just felt like this team was just built to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there not very often do you see Division 8 teams that run the wing T that trot out 4 and 5 guys on their offense and defense that are over 6 foot.
Yeah.
I mean, they had 3-4 guys that are 6'2", 6'3", out there. I mean, that's tough to deal with at Division 8. Mm-hmm. A kid like Swanwick that rolls out there and at 6'2" against a wing T and you're throwing a jump ball to him, that's not fair to a corner in Division 8. Like, it's really not.
No, and I think the broadcast we're listening to, I was listening to, I think they said a corner covering him was like 5'9". So, I mean,
it was in that ballpark, yeah.
I mean, that's just an absurd and unfair matchup.
Well, and it was pretty cool. The TV broadcast had Devin Gardner doing it,
mm-hmm.
the former Michigan quarterback. And, you know, anybody that's listened to him, he's an extremely intelligent football mind. So it was interesting listening to him talk about it, too. And, yeah, it was just impressive. That's the word that when I was at work, I was telling people, I kept going over our radio at work, telling everybody the score. I felt like a mini broadcaster, but I just kept telling everybody, it was just impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. Just an incredible season for Centerville. I mean, they're going to be graduating some key seniors this year, but, I mean, they still have a very good core coming back for the fall.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. You come off of the greatest. It's always hard because this is the best season in school history. And, you know, now the challenge falls into Coach Schultz's lap of how do you build on that. And, I mean, you can't obviously get better than an undefeated state title season, but how do you stay in that same line and how do you continue to build this program to be kind of like what Mendon has been throughout the years and continue to make those playoff runs?
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to be the goal, and it's not easy by any means, but, you know, you relish the moments you have now and let all these kids celebrate and enjoy it. And in a year that's been tough on everybody, not just high school kids, that this has got to be a little bit of vindication for those kids in Centerville, I would think.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, and I know I speak for all of us when we say congratulations to them. Congratulations, Colt Schultz, and we're ready to cover them again in the fall.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to it. I mean, the site I'm using's already got next season's schedule started, so they got Schoolcraft on the schedule next year.
Ooh.
Second game of the year, and anybody that followed Schoolcraft was pretty good this year too. So we'll find out early next year what this Centerville team can do is for an encore.
I'm ready for it, man.
Yeah, so, you know, that kind of wraps up our high school sports for now. Once again, we're in a situation where I believe all winter sports are still shut down and for the high school level with COVID. And I don't know. I know a lot of things are changing next week with restrictions and stuff, but I don't know if there's any ends in sight right now for the winter sports. But when that does happen, we will start getting into the local basketball scene for both men and women's. What wrestling is this time of year as well.
Yep.
So we will try to get some what information we can and start digging on that stuff. And hopefully when seasons roll back out, we can dive right back into some high school basketball.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm ready to see what happens, and I'm ready to talk a little basketball, talk some baseball and softball in the spring. I'm ready to roll, man.
Yeah, we need COVID to go away so these kids can get back into the swing of things.
Mm-hmm.
So do we have any more local stuff, or should we get to the meat and potatoes here?
Let's get your knives ready. We're going to be cutting up some meat.
All right, we're going to take another unpaid break, and we'll be right back. All right, everybody, we are back from our last unpaid break of the episode. So strap in, crack yourself another cold one, whatever your flavor is, whether you want a tea, whether you want a beer, whether you just want water, maybe a cold glass of milk, whatever you're into, refresh it because it's about to go down.
Mm-hmm. Papa Lane's got a story to tell.
Yeah, we got a lot of information with the Detroit Lions, and Lane has, he's got some things to say.
Yeah, putting
so,
that.
So I'm going to preface this. I'm going to kind of walk us into it, and then Lane's going to kind of go a little bit here, and I'll just interject with my feelings, my concerns, my two cents, blah, 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 basically. So the Lions have a coaching staff. They have a general manager. It seems like all of the main pieces are in place. They are still kind of filling in, you know, the second, they're the position coaches and that. But, you know, that stuff will filter in as time goes. But Dan Campbell's the head coach. Won the press conference, in my opinion. I feel like social media was a little bit split on that, but I think if you're going from what you went from with Matt Patricia to a guy who's talking about eating kneecaps, I mean, it's definitely a different smell. But I enjoyed it. I can appreciate the rah-rah in a coach. I kind of like that. So, and then, you know, where does everything starts to get hammered out and you feel like everything's put together and they're on the train. And the train's now going down the tracks toward the draft, and we can start finalizing a plan. Was it Schefter? I don't know who it was that dropped it first, or Rapoport. One of those guys dropped the bomb of the bombs and say the Lions and Matthew Stafford have mutually agreed to trade Stafford before the season. And then sends the Twitter frenzies in a whirlwind. Any of you that listen to this know I've been a Stafford defender from day one. In my opinion, he's the most talented quarterback that they've ever had in their franchise. I don't think it's arguable. I don't think there's a debate. I think he's one of the toughest SOBs you'll ever find. I don't think you could make an argument that he didn't want to win in Detroit, because that dude laid his body on the line season in and season out to just be on an absolutely pathetic franchise that never gave a rip about him or success for the longest time. I mean, Stafford has his flaws, as does anybody not named Brady, but you can't for a second say that that dude didn't want to win and he didn't give his all the time. So for the fans out there on the Twitterverse that are, go good, maybe now we can start, or we can get a real quarterback, blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Like, no, Stafford was not the problem here.
No.
There was a giant list of problems that were way ahead of Matthew Stafford. Put a competent offensive line in front of him. Put a defense that's not – I mean, their defenses over the years have been atrocious. I mean, it's just that narrative is old to me, and I'm sick of it. So – the big question now is, where does Stafford land? What do you get for him? You know, the market in the past few years with guys like Tunzel and that, you know, you've seen huge, huge packages come back for him. And you have to think Stafford's got to be somebody that's going to get a massive return. So the question is, you got to find a team that has the draft capital and the need to meet that, and then find terms, because I mean, there's a lot of teams that need a quarterback. The Colts, the 49ers. I mean, don't get me started. I don't think Jacksonville is completely out of the question here. Houston with Deshaun Watson, their whole situation, you know, what's going to happen there? I mean, the Jets still need a quarterback. Are they willing to move off a two for Stafford? I mean, there's a plethora of options, and I just hope that the Lions don't try to set the market and short themselves in this deal, because what I think, and I'm going to speak for Lane a little bit here, what I think you're going to hear in the rest of this segment is Lane's going to feel pretty good about what is happening with this franchise, but it can be completely knocked off the tracks if this trade is flubbed.
That's fair.
Everything you do with GMs and coaches means nothing if you botch this trade.
Mm-hmm.
Because this trade is setting up your future. I mean, the NFL is a quarterback-driven league. It's known. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team. So, I mean, this trade is pivotal. It has to get done before the draft, obviously. You got to get some draft capital out of it. I mean, to me, this is more important than the coaching hire. I think it doesn't matter who the coach is if you shit the bed on this trade. It really doesn't. So that's my two cents on it. Personally, being a Stafford fan, I want to see him go to the 49ers or I want to see him go to the Cowboys. I want to see him go to someplace he could possibly win because I think the guy deserves a Super Bowl. So that's my two cents on it. Lane's going to get a little deeper. Lane's going to get a little more heated, I got a feeling. You might hear some good. You might hear some bad. But Lane, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Jordan. Thank you for having me on. So, you know, before I really dive deep, I'm just going to recap the Saturday that I feel like the franchise for the next at least decade. So Saturday night, Saturday morning, there is a tweet that came out saying Lions are going to be making a huge front office announcement today. And so everybody's like, all right, yeah, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? Is it our new OC? Is it another hire in the front office? Well, part of it turned out to be that we hired Anthony Lynn, which was the former LA Chargers head coach, really helped develop Justin Herbert into the quarterback that he is today. I think that was an absolute rock star hire for the Lions and an absolute best case scenario for them. I think Anthony Lynn is one of the best offensive minds in the league. I just feel like he was put in he had a situation this year with the Chargers where they weren't healthy. They traded away some key pieces and he just at 500, it wasn't good enough for him. So that started that. And then you had, just a second here. Had just a little notification when it reads about the Lions, but it's nothing important. So then the next bit of news probably, it's probably 20 minutes later after they announced it. Lions Universe was, oh my God, to a WTF in about 20 minutes. Lions and Stafford have agreed to a trade. So now that left the direction of, holy shit, we've got the best offense coordinator that Matt Stafford could have, probably the most motivational coach the Lions have ever had. A front office is probably the deepest and best we've ever had. To now, what are we doing come draft day because we don't have a franchise player anymore? Now you could – I mean, we knew it was coming. I mean, Don't get me wrong. I do not blame Matthew Stafford for wanting to be traded. He's been in the league, I believe, 11 or 12 years now. I believe this is probably the third, fourth, or fifth rebuild, quote unquote, that he's had to go through. Clock's ticking. He's getting beat up every year, and he wants to win. And I don't blame him for that, and I wish him the absolute best. Like you said, Jordan, I hope to see him win a Super Bowl. But with that, I think the tricky part is one, just because he wants a trade doesn't mean he's going to get traded. And I mean, that's the whole thing everybody's forgetting about. Just because you want a trade doesn't mean you're getting traded. Now, I think this is going to happen because I believe by March, I think it's the 31st or the 11th, Stafford gets like a $10 million bonus that the Lions would have to pay. So, you know, they're not going to want to foot that bill. So I would imagine if that's going to happen, the trade's going to probably happen relatively shortly after the Super Bowl. So then the question is, where does he end up? You know, Jordan, you mentioned San Fran, Indy, New Orleans is one out there, but New Orleans is cap space is just god awful right now. They're actually looking to start letting players go or start trading players after Drew is, by all intents and purposes, retiring. I think the one sleeper out there for Stafford, which not a lot of people are talking about, is the Washington football team. They've shown that they can win the NFC East with a fourth-string quarterback. They've got a very good defense, a very good offensive line. They've got weapons. And let's not forget Martin Mayhew, who is now the GM for the football team.
Let's be honest, though. The Alabama could probably win the NFC East this year.
True. Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, let's just call a spade a spade.
And which,
not exactly juggernauts in right, the division.
Not exactly. And then now the news today is that the Broncos are actually the favorite to trade for Stafford. Which, scary thought, is that it's reported that the Lions would not get a first-round pick back in the trade. Which, to me, that is what you said right in the beginning, is don't flub the trade. And that would be absolutely flubbing the trade when you could get two top 10 picks in a deep quarterback, wide receiver, and defensive draft. That would be an utter failure. Before I really get into the picks, though, I did forget to mention the other hire that the Lions did make was John Dorsey. Which, if you're familiar with Kansas City Chiefs, Cleveland Browns, very good GM at eyeing talent, signing talent, getting players there. So I think him assisting Brad Holmes is going to be huge for this franchise. Also with that, today it was announced Deuce Staley, running backs coach who is been getting a lot of looks for head coaching, is now the assistant head coach for the Lions this year. So, I mean, the coaching front office hires, A+. I mean, I don't think you could have a better offseason than Sheila Ford-Hamp has had right now. But with that, that front office is really going to be tested, because if you look at the market from the past three, I guess you could say, franchise-changing trades. First off was the Dolphins and the Texans. Dolphins traded away Laremy Tunsil in 2019 for a 2024, a 2021 sixth and Kenny Stills. Meanwhile, Miami got back two first rounders, 2020, 2021, and a 2021 second round pick. So that's a decent haul for a left tackle. Yeah. So then we get to the next big trade, which was Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey from Jacksonville to LA. The Jags received four first round picks in 2021. And 2020, and also a 2021 fourth rounder. Pretty good haul. So then you got the Jamal Adams pick this year, or trade this year. The Jets traded for a 2022 fourth round pick to Seattle with Adams for Bradley McDougald, a first round and a third round pick in 2021, and a 2022 first round pick. Any of those positions do not transform a franchise. They make them sizably better, but they do not transform a franchise. Matt Stafford is a player that will transform your franchise. It will take a Jimmy G from a wild card team to being a Super Bowl contender, maybe even favorite. I think if you're Detroit, you do not answer the phone if they're not willing to give up two first round picks, a second, and maybe a fourth. You have to get that haul, because he is everybody in the league has shit on the Lions for the past so many years and said, you know, Matt Stafford's average. But now that the trades come out, everybody's saying, oh, my God, this guy is incredible. I mean, he's going to transform your franchise. So if you're San Francisco, if you're Indy, if you're Denver, you got to pay up, and you got to make them pay up, because you want to make a trade that's one mutually beneficial to you, and you want to give one that's beneficial to Stafford, because like you said, that dude has laid everything out for the Lions for the past decade plus. I think if, like I said, if you don't get the two first round picks, don't answer the phone, because it's not worth it. I personally am with you. I want to see him go to San Francisco. I think with that defense and those weapons on offense, I think they go to be becoming a 12-4, 13-3 team. Because let's not forget, they have a very good run offense and an even better offensive line. Something that
those are things that Stafford's never seen.
Right. And exactly. And that's what sucks about this situation is because all the pieces that are coming into place for Detroit and the dominoes that are falling are showing that Detroit is getting like this feels like hires that are turning a corner for us. We said that with Patricia, but it really feels like we're getting guys that motivate, relate, and almost every single coaching hire they've made have all been coaches that have either been a head coach, are being interviewed for head coaches, or are being groomed to be the next big head coach. So the potential is there. I guess then the question then becomes, life after Stafford, what does that look like and what do we do? So for me, I think if you're going to take a quarterback at 7, which in all reality, you don't have to.
Hang on, time out. I told you I was going to interject. Mm-hmm. I gotta say something here. Mm-hmm. As a college football recruiting guy, I can tell you that you need to take a quarterback in this class because there is not one in the next class that is going to be franchise changing unless somebody just bursts onto the scene out of nowhere. And the following year, maybe, and that's if guys like DJ Uiagalelei I forget the other guy. There's another big name that's coming, but we don't even know what those guys are because Spencer Rattler would be the other one. If those guys boom into what they're expected to be. So you're looking at potentially 2 to 3 years until a guy like Bryce Young at Alabama comes out before you see another crop of legitimate quarterbacks. If you don't take one early this year, you're in trouble if you're the Lions, in my opinion.
See, and that's where I disagree. Because you and I have had these conversations at sidebar conversations that to me there is one clear cut, and that is Trevor Lawrence. I don't think the Lions have a shot of getting Trevor Lawrence. The only redeeming thing that could give them a shot is that Daryl Bevel is now their offensive coordinator and Matt Stafford loves Bevel. But what worries me is Wilson is a project quarterback. Fields is absolutely a project quarterback. And we really don't know what Trey Lance is.
I'm telling you right now, I take Trey Lance.
I'm in that camp too. If you're going to take a quarterback, you take Lance at 7. I don't want to touch Fields based off the history of Ohio State. Wilson worries me that he's a flash in the pan. And, I mean, you've got Mac Jones, but is Mac Jones a top 10 talent? No, he's not. I mean, he's a top 50 talent, but he's not a top 10.
I put all my eggs in Trey Lance. I have watched tape on this kid. I've read all the reports from, like, the high-end guys that rave about him. This, I think, it's Trevor, and then it's Trey Lance.
And I think that's where they're going to go. I think you are going to get Trey Lance, but I'm saying you don't have to take a quarterback because you could realistically, if you're expecting to have a shit season, which by all indications you're going to, because odds are Kenny Galladay's not coming back. Odds are Marvin Jones is probably going to follow Stafford to wherever he goes. That leaves you right now with Chase Daniels and Tyler Blau as your quarterback.
David Blau.
Excuse me. So you could
not exactly.
No.
Set the world.
No. Apart. I think there are three names that if you're going to draft a quarterback, you need to look at as your veteran quarterback to let your rookie sit behind. Because I don't, no matter who we take at 7 quarterback wise, I don't want them to see the field at all in year one, unless they are.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think anybody besides Trevor needs to sit.
Yeah, exactly. I think they need to sit a season, learn the speed of the game, and refine those skills because each one of them each has their own bright shining merit, but they also have their flashing red light saying, "Hey, here's a problem with your game." So if I were going to be looking at quarterbacks, I would be looking at three names right now. Tyrod Taylor, which has a history with Anthony Lynn. Cam Newton as a kind of a 1 or 2 year prove it deal. And then the other one would be Jameis. I don't want Jameis. I think he's more of a distraction than he is a help. But I think if you're wanting to take three veteran quarterbacks and give them a 1 to 2 year prove it deal and let your rookie sit behind them and learn the game, I think those are the three you take.
I think your probably best bet would be Taylor there, just because of what's his name?
Anthony Lynn.
Yeah, what you said.
Yeah. So I mean, and I agree. I think Tyrod Taylor is going to be our QB1 next season. I really do. I think if you roll out Chase Daniels in week 1, oh Lord have mercy. it's going to be ugly. So then the next question is that if you get that pick this year and say you get 12, who do you look at 12? I'm a Micah Parsons talent fan, but there's some things behind the scenes rolling about like sexual assault and things like that I wouldn't touch with 100-foot pole.
Yeah, there's a lawsuit against him at Penn State right now, isn't there?
Yeah, him and James Franklin. I mean, it's ugly. So I wouldn't touch him with a 100-foot pole. There's glaring character issues there. So I mean that completely shifts where the Lions should go. Should they hope like a Jalen Waddle is there at say 12? Do you hope that's it? Because I mean, Devonta Smith I think's gone at 3. I think he's going to Miami. It's going to be interesting. And again, it's all going to depend on that haul they get back for Stafford. But like you said in the beginning of this segment, if the Lions want to get to that next step, they cannot flub this trade. You absolutely cannot screw this up. Now, you might say right now that you look at the Texans who don't have any draft picks and they trade for Deshaun Watson. Sign me up, because there's going to be no drop off there. But in all reality, that won't happen. So I don't know. It's a sticky situation, but on the positive note, the Lions coaching staff looks good. I mean, unfortunately we've had Stafford for 11 years now. We haven't won anything. So if we're going to rebuild, let's just do it, rip the bandaid off, and let's just roll. Because in all reality, we won 5 games this year, and we win 3 next year. That's 2 less. We're used to it. But as long as we're continuing to grow, I'm all in. And I'm all in on Dan Campbell. I think he's a dude that knows the city. He's going to build a team to reflect the environment. And I think that's great. So, I mean, as a dark of a weekend it was for Lions fandom, there are positives, and you got to find them, but they're there.
Yeah. Man, I just don't know. Like we said, it's so much of it comes down to the trade, because it, you know, like you said, you really need another first in this deal. And where do you land there with that first? You know, does it get you in a spot where you could see another QB in the first, and maybe you can take another need with us at 7? I don't know. So much of this offseason hinges on this trade. I know I said it a lot to begin with, but that's just what it feels like.
Oh, and let's get real crazy here. So say the Lions do trade them to hell. Say they do trade them to Dallas, and Dallas lets Dak walk. Do you take the 4th pick or the 5th? Excuse me, I can't remember which one they have, or the 7th, or wherever they're at. Do you bundle that with, well, we're 7th, or do you bundle it with our pick, make an offer of 2 first-round picks, top 10 this year, our first next year for Trevor Lawrence at 1? If you're Jacksonville and Urban Meyer, do you take that deal?
In a second.
Exactly. I think this could be something that the Lions are building on something, because if you do read some of these quotes by people involved in the front office, they're saying, just wait, they're not done yet. So if we do pull off a big trade, and say we do trade them to Denver and we get the 9th pick now, I think you have to make a push for one and get Trevor Lawrence. You absolutely have to, because now you've got your head coach that gets the guy you want. I mean, it would turn a shit situation into a very encouraging one overnight.
You have to at least do the due diligence and pick up the phone and make the call.
And if you're Urban Meyer,
because I don't see Jacksonville calling and asking about Stafford. I don't think they need to. The position you're in, you're okay taking Trevor Lawrence at one. You're very okay with that. But if they call, you listen.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to. I mean, at that point, and especially if you're Urban, who's been given this huge stinking deal, who's actually getting a pretty decent staff down there, you have to listen to that call because you're already not a bad team. I mean, you're really not.
Right.
You get maybe that project. Maybe you trade back a little bit and you get your guy Fields. I mean, I've been saying that since we've thought of Urban being the guy, but maybe he doesn't take him a one, but say Fields falls to, say, 7 or 5 or wherever, and you could go get your guy. I mean, that there's not much more than your guy, than the guy that played for your school by the coach that you taught up. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think the next probably month is going to be extremely interesting for Detroit Lions, the front office, the coaching staff.
Yeah, and the big fandom. Question will be who goes first. Will Watson, Wentz, or Stafford go first?
See, if I had to guess, I think you see Wentz go to New England.
Interesting.
I think you see, it makes me sick to my stomach, but I think you see Watson go to Chicago. I think they write that wrong. Huh. And then I think you see Stafford go out west, and I think you see him go to San Fran. With a light, with an edit light of Indy being in there as well. Because I think if he goes to San Fran, they're either going to cut Jimmy G or Jimmy G's coming back in the trade, and I sure as hell don't want that.
Man, we will see, I guess. There's like you said, this next month's going to be wild.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be nuts, man.
You got more on the Lions? I know you could go all day, but you got more you wanted to cover?
Nah, man, I think I'm good. I'm sure if something crazy happens and we end up not trading Stafford and we – somehow trade for Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill or something like that, I'll be doing an emergency cast, but we know that ain't happening.
There's a shot in the dark there.
And I haven't been drinking.
Cannot say the same. Guilty. All right. Well, I think with that, we can probably wrap this up. You got a lot of nuggets there and a lot of information in this podcast. So, if you want to talk about it, please hit us up on social media. Leave us a question. Tell us your opinion. Let us know what you think. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on all of them, Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards. And then, like I said before at the beginning, please hit that subscribe button. Give us those 5-star reviews on whatever platform you're on. It's greatly appreciated. Go check out the Watershed Voice. We appreciate it. They appreciate it. And you will also appreciate it. And then my number one thing, as always, just tell a friend, you know. Tell somebody who likes sports to give us a listen, and maybe they tell a friend, and we grow a little bit further and further with every day. Lane, you got anything else before we close it down?
No, absolutely. Just thank you guys again for hopping on and listening to us. Like Jordan said, just tell one friend. Or even if you see us post our podcast online, share it. Just share it to get our name recognition out there. But again, thank you guys. Thank you, Watershed Voice. A lot of good podcasts in Watershed Voice to check out as well. But with that, guys, I hope you guys have a good week. Stay safe and go green. Blue.